Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
It took me a little while to get used to them. Do you know you don't pick a church based on the personality of the pastor? You pick it based on what the Lord told you to do? Do you know that? Yeah, well, we'll just throw that out there. Also, I wanted to share this because we're in tithes and offerings. This last year, Heidi and I had in our own personal finances had just focused on some things that we wanted to do. And so I wanted to share how the Lord helped us. We put ourselves on a budget. We did the Dave Ramsey, you know, budget thing that he does. And I'll qualify that with this. I am not sold on everything Dave Ramsey says, just so you know, because I think some of it is great, and I think some of it I just don't agree with. But there are some good principles there that can be used, and you need to if you have trouble in areas of overspending, a budget's not a bad idea. You know what I mean? People are like, I don't want a budget, then I won't be able to buy what I want. Yeah, but you're shooting yourself in the foot by not following a good, healthy pattern. You have to believe God for increase and live inside the means of what you have at this place currently. But anyway, I just wanted to share this with you. In the last, we figured, what, about 9 months, I suppose? Is that right? 10 months. We've paid off $10,147.21 in debt. And that included both of our vehicles. So we got all that taken care of. Do you know what you can do when you don't have payments on things? You can give more. And so you say, is this a tithe teaching church? Yeah, we'll teach the tithe, which is 10%, you know. But we give more than 10%, Heidi and I do. I actually have a goal. There is a man that was named Letourneau. And he's actually a gentleman that invented all the heavy machinery equipment that you see around, the big rubber tire earth movers that you see around. He invented those, and the Lord gave him the ideas for those machines. And he thought he was a missionary at first and failed miserably and figured out God called him to be a businessman. Did you know God calls people to be wealthy businessmen to support the kingdom? Not so that they can go do whatever they want. When God's blessing is on somebody, he has a purpose behind it. Now, you can make money on your own. You can do whatever you want on your own. I mean, there are ways to make money and be wealthy if you want to do it on your own. But the only real way to be prosperous and blessed is to do everything with God first. Did you know that? So anyway, this guy, Letourneau, he started out tithing to his church and to ministry, the ministries that he was affiliated with at 10%. By the time he was done with his life, do you know how much he was giving to the church and living off of? He flipped it. He was giving 90% and living off 10. Living off 10. Living off 10. And I'll just tell you this, he had his own jet. He had a very nice house, nice everything. He was wealthy, very wealthy. But you know what? Billions of dollars are not necessary to live on. They're just not. People think, well, if I won the lottery, you'd do exactly what you're doing with your money right now if you won the lottery and all of a sudden came into it. Because see, it's an issue of the heart. It's not an issue of the stuff. Stuff is stuff. Money, you've heard me say it before, is amoral. It doesn't have a morality. It becomes a manifestation of something based on the intention of the heart of the person who holds it in their hand. Amen? So, you say, why did you share that testimony? Because you can do it too. Amen? I have a goal. Heidi and I have a goal. I have a goal. I heard a minister say this one time, my goal is to live off 49% and give 51%. And you say, why is that? Because 51% is ownership in any company. Right? If we're in a business together and you own 49% of the stocks and I own 51% of the stocks, who's dominant? Me. because I have the 51%. So that's my goal. Now, if that trips your brain up, just hang with us, okay? Nobody's asking you to give 51% of your income in this church, okay? Just relax. Nobody, even when I'm preaching this, I'm not going to tell you what to do at all. I'm just going to tell you what the scripture says. You're going to decide what you're going to do. I'll just tell you this, no matter what any, because I've been in all kinds of services where people preach on money and it's like pulling teeth, you know? At offering time, it's like going to the dentist. You know, all right, here comes the offering, and that you hear this. Open your mouth. That's not how this church is. Okay. If you want to give to the Lord, you will. It's up to you. It's your decision between you and the Lord and His Word. I can't make anybody do anything. All I can do is preach the Bible. Amen. And I've had people tell me, you know, we get in ministers' meetings and different things like that, and you hear people say, what do you do to get your people to give? Just teach them the word. If they give, they give. Now that, it's true. If you want a crowd to get quiet, talk about marriage, kids, or money. Yeah, pretty much true. But you got to know this about me. I youth pastored for 6 years, so none of you scare me. So as we go through this series and we look into this, this is not about us trying to wrench you. This is about faith and the Word of God and it getting in you. And then you taking the words that are out of the Scriptures and going over them for yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit by the Word of God to transform the way you think and then lead your heart into the things that He desires for you. Does that make sense? That's where God wants you in any subject that is covered in the Scriptures. In any subject. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are not going to preach condemnation here. But in the principles of God and in the Word of God, Jesus doesn't mix words. Have you ever noticed that? He just says it the way it is. And when He does that, we get the opportunity to take these words that are eternal truth and then analyze our own way of doing things. And if we choose to, we can choose by our own free will to repent and change around what His words say. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's where I'm coming at as far as this series is concerned. And so let's go to Philippians 4. Praise God. You know, I'll just here just to give you an idea about me, and some people think I'm just looking to fight, but I'm not. I have a conviction about what I believe God said to me and what His Word says. So I am not one that easily sways away from that. I'm just not. Even if somebody comes against me strongly, I don't mind if somebody has a different thought on what it is. All you have to do is prove to me from the Bible that you're right. That's all you got to do. And I'll adjust. Because you know what? Jesus is the one that saved me through the Bible, through His words in the Word. And so if it started out there, I figure everything good for my life comes from this. Okay? And so I've had people share their opinions with me and their thoughts. And you know what? You guys know what I think about opinions. They're like belly buttons. Everybody has them. They're just not good for anything. Except collecting lint. They collect lint. That's about it. So, but the Word of God is our foundation. So let's go to Philippians 4:15. Giving and receiving. Paul wrote this to the Philippians. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning what? Giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. Isn't that interesting that Paul says that right there? What is Paul saying right there? I'm not after your money. I'm not after your money. He said, what am I after? I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Do you know that that scripture right there doesn't haunt me, but it looms at me? Because as a minister, I have to be careful the way I present truths. Now, concerning the subject of giving and receiving, or we might say finances, or some people call it the prosperity message, some people call it, you know, the laws of reciprocity, you know, if you really want to get fancy. I have a responsibility not to seek you, not my priority, not to be seeking your wallet, but to be you, to be able to hear from the word of the Lord, hear from the Holy Spirit, do what he tells you to do. And then my responsibility in faith is to receive that as the church on behalf of the Lord for the ministry of the gospel and the kingdom, but then be in faith and have my heart in such a place where my true seeking is your reward. The harvest that comes back to you is what I'm after. I'm not after. Does that make sense? Okay? And so that's a heart attitude. You know, I was raised around my background's the Word of Faith. It's Foursquare. It's, you know, kind of Pentecostal in that way. And I've been in all kind of church services where offerings are being taken up. I've been in church services where the minister got up, took the offering was taken. I've been in church services where no offering was being taken, and the Spirit of God moved so strongly that people literally just got up out of their seats, took money out of their wallet, and came and threw it on the stage. Nobody said anything about money. Nobody said a thing about it. It's just the Holy Spirit swept through the room, and the people were open, and all of them heard at once, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, give. I'll just tell you this. Some of you are looking at me cross-eyed. Hang with me. Love me. I've been in services where cars have been given to people. Me and Mike were in a service together in Tulsa. How many vehicles were given away in that service? A house was given away. People go, did you read in the New Testament? Where the early church sold their lands and properties for the sake of assisting other believers? Now, we're not having a house selling service. I don't want any of your cars. Nobody is getting up and giving one away. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? What I've found in this area of finances is that most of the confusion that happens, it comes down to people miss the motivation. When it comes to the issue of money, most people get fixated on amounts rather than motivation. Does that make sense? When it comes to this church, I told God a long time ago, if you don't make it float, I'm not going to become a professional salesman. I didn't call me. I didn't anoint me. I didn't make me. It wasn't my idea to start the church. It wasn't my idea. I got lots of other ideas. Personally, there's lots of things I could do. But then, you know, this thing happened. I got saved. And I said, Lord Jesus, you're my Savior. And you're my Lord. And when you do that, God says, we got one. And he says, let me reveal something to you, Sean. This was my plan for you before you were ever born, preacher. And I'm like, well, maybe you should make me something else. You know, maybe I can change. Nope, this is it. Okay. So then if God starts it, he has to sustain it and grow it. Amen? Now, we do our part in obedience. Like, for instance, when we purchased this building, out of this congregation, I suppose there was raised about $27,000, I guess is what it was, which is great, but we needed 57. So what does God do? God tells another group of churches who, at this point, has a whole lot more money coming in than we do, and says, write him a check for $30,000. And then in one swoop, what do you have? $57,000, in case you couldn't add that. I know you guys can. You're smart. So what did that church do? They assisted. They took out of what they had in their storehouse to assist in the moving forward of this congregation. But you know what I desire for us? I desire that we become the $30,000 check writers. And people, and that is not pressure on you, so don't think it is, because it's not. I desire that we so understand the true increase of God that we are able to more and more advance the kingdom in taking care of the needs of a city. Does that make sense? And being able to assist and help those that are in the body. Come on. Okay? Because it's both. And as you do this, as you see the principles of God's word, you're going to have to take time and really look at it. Because if you don't, you'll miss it. Because the enemy hates this subject. You know why? He wants all the money. He wants all the money. If he has all the money, then he can control. Money in this earth is power. It's absolute power. So, you know, it even goes back to the gun debate that's going on. The issue is not the gun. The issue is the heart. The issue is not the money. The issue is the heart. And so we're going to look at different things. And as we do, it's going to offend your mind. Okay? It's going to offend your natural thinking. But you have to allow the Word of God to take its process and have a humble heart and allow yourself to sit and look at what He's saying. If you're young in here and you want to start a business, God is going to fill this place with business owners. He already has, and or entrepreneurs, those who want to start businesses. It's already happening. And the reason why He does it is for the purpose of the kingdom. Make sure that when you sit down to plan your business, you plan with God first, not second. Now, I'm going to share something that Mike shared with me. Because I didn't ask him, but I don't need his permission. So I figure if Heidi can share about just signing up your wife, then, you know, it's free game. No, it's nothing. It's nothing that juicy. I'm playing it up way too big. But Mike's a business owner, and he's had success in his business. But you know what he said to me one day? And it just hit me because we were talking about some of these things. He said, "Sean, I don't care about the money." Now, most people would think, yeah, right. Do you want to know why? Because they love the money. But did you know it's possible to love God so much that you will release something material in your hand and do it with joy and give it to someone else? Because you know your Father and your satisfaction is in Him. Isn't that amazing? It's not just about budgets and, you know, all that. These are natural things that God put in the earth for humanity with the right heart to have oversight of in order to advance the kingdom of light and put a stop to the kingdom of darkness. That's all it is. It's like the guy I was at Bible school, and this guy was sharing a testimony about some other, it wasn't really a testimony, well, it kind of was, more of a little story, but this guy was bragging about all the things he had to his friend, and his friend didn't have much of anything. You know, he was struggling financially, just didn't have a lot going on. The other guy's like, oh, I got this vehicle, and, you know, and all this stuff, and man, we rejoice. If you get something new, praise God, enjoy it. You know what I mean? But anyway, this guy was bragging. He wasn't testifying. He wasn't helping anybody. And the other student finally looked at him and said, oh, so what? Your pile of ashes will be bigger than mine. And let me just help you with something. All your TVs, your computers, your house, your cars, everything like that. There's nothing wrong with them. But guess what? It'll all be ashes. Heard about a minister one time. We're really priming the well here. I have not got into it. We are just getting everybody together here. Got to pour a little water in the well first, get her going. Heard about a minister one time that took her entire youth group to the dump for youth group. She said, all your iPods, all your phones, video games, this is where they end up. This is it. Guess what? That's where it all ends up. It's where it all ends up. When God blesses you and you get something, enjoy it, because it was God richly blessing you. And we're going to look at it. I mean, the scriptures say he wants to do that. But just remember, if it starts to creep in on you before God, just remember where it's going. Because you won't keep it. You won't. Eventually, and even if it outlasts you, you're going to go to dust. And it's a blessing, isn't it? You will. So what do you hold in your possession that would be able to advance God? Advance God in your family. Advance God in your neighborhood. Advance God in your city. Advance God around the world and His things. And people say, well, God's so rich. What does He need us for? It's not about needing us. It's about our faith. It's about our response to Him. Do you see that? But when this is in the right place and our heart is in the right place concerning these things, God is unlimited in His generosity or His provision towards us. And so we saw here in Philippians 4 that they shared with Him according to giving and receiving. He said, I don't seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to who? To God. In other words, they wrote their check out to Paul's international ministry. Paul's traveling ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Now, they didn't have checks in those days. They had coins, right? They had, their money was gold and silver, and it was real money. Okay? It wasn't paper. It wasn't paper. But it was real money. But what were they doing? And guess what? Let me just help you with this. They didn't get a tax write-off for it either. I know, just hit that one, right? Just smack. So we do. We're blessed, and I think you should take advantage of it. But that wasn't their motivation for giving. You say, why do you say that? Because I've had little old ladies. Years ago, when I was in ministry as a youth pastor, every month I had to go visit this little old lady, and she would write me a check for $600 for the church. You want to know what her motivation was? Well, I did my taxes last year, and man, it ate my lunch. So she figured out the exact amount that would get her into a certain bracket. Come on. If that's your motivation to give, oh, it's not high enough. It's not high enough. You got to raise your eyes up a little bit. I mean, get past Uncle Sam. Right? So they gave to him, and Paul makes this statement. He says, you're giving a sacrifice to God. Notice he didn't say you gave it to me. I receive it, but who did you give it to? God. You give it to God. Okay, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 8:1. Just going to read a couple of scriptures here just to get us going. Maybe we'll stop early, depending on how well we do. We don't want to overdo it. Don't want to choke anybody with too much. Somebody say, I'm going to understand this. Because we're going to be a blessing. We have been and continue to be. We're blessed to be a blessing. That's what we're here for. We're blessed to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 8:1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, notice that in the great trial of affliction, they had abundance of joy. Man, I read that verse, I thought, ooh, I don't think I'm doing that one as well as I should. And indeed, in their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us, verse 4, with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, key, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in what? This grace also. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about giving money. What does he say right before that? See that you abound in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, diligence, and in your love, see that you abound in this also. And then in verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment. So it's not a commandment. But he says, I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. I love the way Paul wrote. I mean, some of the things he said. Do you remember when he wrote to, was it Onesimus's Philemon? He wrote to Philemon, right? You know what he said to Philemon? He's like, read the book of Philemon sometime. It's like Paul is laying it on thick. He's like, I got your slave that ran away from you. Is it Onesimus? And he says, he's here with me. And then he goes through this whole long list because a slave that ran away could be, I mean, he could be killed for running away. And Paul goes into this long list. Oh, by the way, Philemon, he's now a brother of ours in Christ. And by the way, I know you'll receive him. And he starts telling Philemon how he's going to receive Onesimus. And then at the end of it, he says, and oh, by the way, you owe me your whole life anyway. Paul literally says that. I'm like, geez, Paul, laying it on thick, are we? But that's how he was. And God thought, I like that. Put it in the Bible. All right. He said, I do not speak by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. In other words, he's going, look what the Macedonians did. Do you think you Corinthians could do the same? That's exactly what he's saying. I just think that's great. It makes me laugh. I chuckle when I read the Bible. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? What's the word? Here, give me your Bible, Heidi. I want to see if it's the same in that one. See, where am I at? 2 Corinthians 8, what, 9? It says in this one, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became, that you through his poverty might, leave that scripture up. What does it say? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became, that you through his poverty might become. Who said that? The Holy Ghost through Paul. What is God's will? That you become rich. Actually, you've already been made it by the grace of God. Now, people look at that and they, now in your mind, where does your mind go when you hear rich? Now, this is the key. Now, this whole chapter, both of them, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, prove me wrong if you can, you can't, but go ahead and try, are all talking about money. They're all talking about money. Just these two chapters are. The word rich means a full supply. Okay? So now if in your mind you think, oh, everybody's going to be a millionaire, probably not. But I'll be honest with you. If you're blessed and you're increased financially, let's say your stuff is paid for, how much do you really need to be able to be a blessing to others and live well yourself? You know, if you owe nothing on your house and your vehicles, and all your monthly bills consist of is electricity and gas and, you know, whatever, those things, you don't need much. You just don't. And God is so good that he'll show you how to do certain things financially to where you're not always under that stress. Come on, everybody experience the stress? This is what believing God is under stress. God, I need another job. That bill's a coming. When you're living in the blessing of God, He shows you how to manage and take care of things in the process of increasing financially as He takes you step by step. And I'll just tell you this, prosperity with God is not winning the lottery. You say, what does that mean? That means that you sow and God increases you. And then you sow and then you sow and you get increased. And according to your seed, you increase. According to your seed. According to your seed. There's no sense in believing God for an entire field of corn if you plant one seed. That's crazy. The principle doesn't work. We have to sow according to what God has given us in starting out, and then as He increases us, as we grow, as we develop in that process, then God continually increases us in prosperity. And it's interesting, the steady growth or increase of a person that follows God also follows the pattern of character growth at the same time. Because a man or a woman of God with $10 million but very low character is dangerous. But a man or a woman of God with $10 million that has very high character is considerate to the Lord first in everything that they do so that they do not increase the kingdom of the enemy in someone else's life or in their own life, but is considerate to the Lord in increasing the kingdom of light in their own family and in the community that they're in. Not partaking or participating in things that would advance the enemy rather than God. Amen? And so God has this desire and design, and He put it in His scripture. One more time, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was yet rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich." You notice that Paul said in verse 7, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in what? This grace also." Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. I didn't even get, this is my introduction. I almost got to point one. But we've had, how many have learned something already? You know what's going to happen in here? I'll just tell you this. I'm not going to take up special offerings after I preach. Just so you know. Anybody else ever been special offering to death in a church service? Boy, I have. There are times for it. But man, I have. I went to a youth conference one time, and we had told the kids how much money they needed for food, how much money they needed for the trip and all this stuff. And we get there, and the minister, he preached a good message, and he brought garbage cans up on stage, and they were taking up a missions offering. Do you know how many kids I had to buy food for out of the church after he got done? I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Now the kids here are starving. I mean, it was a good message, but my goodness. Here you have a bunch of teenagers. I was like, oh my God. And he preached out a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, so he's going to fill these garbage cans and push it down and then have more people, give. And I'm just like, oh, thank you, Lord. Now, I've been in services like that are right. But we had this group of teenagers. I mean, they're going, yeah, I want to help somebody. But they don't think beyond 5 minutes from where they are because they're teenagers, especially the males. They're brain damaged until they're 22 or something like that. 30, somebody said 30. Oh, my goodness. But how did I get off on that? Thank you, Lord, for joy. But I will say this. As we go through this, it's going to be a joyous thing. It won't be we got to go hear about that again. Because that preacher's broke. No, we just read the scripture. Go back to verse 9. I need it back. Verse 9, in the name of Jesus. Verse 9. And Jordan's back there going. Okay. Verse 9. Yeah. Where are we at? Maybe I'm wrong. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. All right, praise the Lord, we're through. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become. Let me just help you with this. I do not look at you and think you owe me something at all. If I can't believe God for myself, something's wrong. And people say, well, I know, but the scripture says that the people are to give so that the ministers, you know, have supply and all that stuff. I understand that, but I cannot go to that scripture and present it to Pastor Brett like, you got to do this for me. I can't do that. I have to believe God. I have to believe God. If I'm any sort of preacher, if I'm any sort of example, I have to put forth faith first. And I take it seriously. I take it very seriously. I bite my lip. I'm serious about it. So serious about it. And people say, well, I'll just tell you this. There's been people in this congregation that had money. They left. I drove them out because, you know, filthy lucre. No. They didn't agree with me on some of the things I preached, but I can't go by the fact that they have money. I have to go by this. Come on, think about this. They told me they flew in on a private jet. Anybody else in here flying on a private jet recently? But if I look at them and go, oh, a private jet, they might be able to pay my salary. I can't do that. If God can't pay my salary, I'm picking a different one. I'm picking a different God. Right? Because he's big. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Do you know what God's doing for me right now? He's working on my behalf. Why? Because I'm a giver. I give. And his word is working on my behalf. But I do not put pressure on people to make those things happen at all. At all. And you shouldn't either. Well, you got money, you owe me. Really? Why do they owe you? Why do they owe you something? They don't. They don't at all. I put this into play years ago. Even when I first got saved, me and Heidi sat down. We purposely had made up and talked about in our own family and stuff that we were going to believe God, that me personally, and we talked about it, that we were never going to put pressure on our parents to take care of us. If you are able-bodied, we're going to get into this too. Because you know what part of prosperity is? A job. A job. Not the book of Job. A job. I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures later on. Before the curse, before the fall, God gave Adam a job. Why? I want to be so strong in faith and so developed on this side with the Lord that I can be a blessing to everybody. I'm never looking for somebody to, come on, to where I'm contributing, not just taking. Does that make sense? I'm contributing and not just taking. Malachi 3:8 says this, will a man rob God? And the Lord says this through the prophet. He said, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Does that sound like increase? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Have you ever gotten something and then it got destroyed? That's the enemy. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you are a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You are a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that good? And people say, I hesitated in a sense to read all of that particular chapter in Malachi because there's so much arguing and discrepancy over tithing and over giving on that side. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to present the scriptures to you and you can decide for yourself whether they're for you or not, because I won't be able to be your Lord anyway. And I'm certainly not going to take the time to try and be, because that would be too much stress on my life. And the Lord told me to remain at peace. But as we cover this subject, we're going to delve into these verses, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to dispel the lies of the enemy in them. But you know the other thing that the Lord's going to help us do? Dispel the twists of religion and traditions of men as well. Just get them out. To where we come to the place, like the Apostle Paul said, we come to the place where we can give cheerfully and not by compulsion or under stress. And we don't just look at people and go, oh yeah, I'm writing a check so that the electricity stays on at the church. That may be a practical application, but you're giving out of what the Lord has provided for you as an act of worship based on obedience to His word back to Him. And when you do that, God may tell you to give money to somebody on the street. Does that make sense? And when you do that, there are promises connected with a correct heart, an obedient heart that follows the leading of the Holy Spirit by Scripture. And then there's a blessing on the backside of it that God says back to you, I will open the windows of heaven to you and pour out a blessing upon you that there shall not be room enough to receive. I'm not living at that level yet. But is it available? Yeah, it's available. And so what we're going to do is just break off those barriers in our mind. You know, this one, I can't make that much money because I don't have a college degree. You know, some of the wealthiest people in the world don't have a college degree. In fact, the Letourneau guy, he baffled the engineers that worked with him, because he wasn't trained like they were. He would just have, the Lord would show him what to do, and he'd literally write it on a napkin in a restaurant and draw a picture and say, can we do this? And they'd look at it and go, oh yeah, I guess we can. By the time he was done, he would fly into places, build a road system in that place, build a school, and build a church, and teach them how to use the equipment and leave it there with him and not charge a thing. Come on. I mean, get a vision. Faith Family Church builds house for family. And don't picture you being the one that the house is built for. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the stuff we have to fight off, because our natural tendency is to go, yeah, that would be nice for me. But if you follow the course of the promise, you give to someone else first, and then the Lord repays you. Now, it may come through man, but you can't ever decide. You can't ever decide. You know, I don't change what I preach because it drives rich people away. Because I'm looking at the rich people. I said, I am looking at the rich people. Not because of what, not anything. The Lord said in 2 Corinthians. Stand up. This could go on forever. He said, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were made rich. So we just have to learn how to adjust our mind and tap into that. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for your word and your precious Holy Spirit that's been in this place. Lord, thank you that you're ministering to your people, that you're increasing and strengthening us in these areas. Father, I just ask that you continue to open our eyes and we'll believe and expect for it as we look to your word, knowing that you're taking us in a specific direction for the advancement of your kingdom. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Don't leave if you need prayer. We will pray with you for anything. So God bless you guys. We'll see you Wednesday. Reverend Mike Hill will be speaking.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.